Okay, we're moving on. We're in Maimonides' second Shoresh, the second root, the second principle as to how we enumerate the 613 mitzvot. And this is the one that people speak about most. It has a lot of relevance, as we will see. Remember that Maimonides wrote this in Arabic, and we're reading a translation. HaShoresh HaSheni, the second root. שאין ראוי למנות כל מה שלמדים באחת מי"ג מידות שהתורה נדרשת בהן או בריבוי. That you shouldn't count anything that's counted in one of the 13 laws of derivation or with the ריבוי. Meaning the Torah sometimes uses a word or wording that encompasses more and that these things that are encompassed through a ריבוי or are derived through the laws of derivation, they don't get counted as their own mitzvot. כבר ביארנו בפתיחת חיבורנו, we already explained in the introduction בפירוש המשנה, in the beginning of his introduction to the Mishnah, שרוב דיני התורה יוצאו בי"ג מידות שהתורה נדרשת בהן. That most of the laws of the Torah are derived through the 13 laws of derivation that the Torah is derived with, that are used to derive laws from the Torah. ושהדינו יצא במידה מאותן המידות, and that the law that is derived, that is attained through the use of those laws of derivation, הנה פעמים תיפול במחלוקת, sometimes there's a מחלוקס. ושיש שם דינים הם פירושים מקובלים ממשה, some halachos, Maimonides says, we have on tradition. It says, take a pre-eitz hodor. The Torah tells you, on Sukkot, I want you to take a beautiful fruit. So the Gemara discusses which fruit is it. Maimonides says, yeah, those are all theoretical discussions. Everyone agreed what a lulav and an esrog is. When the Torah says an eye for an eye, everyone agreed it doesn't mean literally an eye for an eye. The Rambam says there are certain things that we have on tradition, certain explanations in the Torah that we have on tradition. You can't argue with them. Some things are derived and then there's room for arguments, and some things are just a tradition. ושיש שם דינים הם פירושים קובלים ממשה, אין מחלוקת בהם. אבל הם מביאים ראיה להם באחד מי"ג מידות, but Chazal sometimes will prove this tradition that they had with the laws of the 13 laws of derivation, כי מחוכמת הכתוב, שהוא אפשר שימצא בו רמז, because that's the wisdom in the verses, that you can find an allusion מורה על הפירוש שהוא המקובל, או הקשור עליו. That the verse has indications, built-in indications, the concepts that we have on tradition. V'kvar bi'anu zeh inyan sham, we already explained this over there. So the Rambam continues, when the Shoresh HaSheni, the second root, u'sheyeh zechein, hinei lo kol ma shenimtza hachamim, sheotziu be'kesh miyudgim en midot, nomar shu ne'mal Moshe b'sinai. Based on what we just said, so not everything that we'll find derived from the 13 laws of derivation would we say that was given to Moshe at Sinai. ולא גם כן אומר בכל מה שנמצאים בתלמוד יסמכו על אחד מי"ג מידות שהוא רבנן. Nor would we say that anything you find in Talmud aligned with one of the 13 laws of derivation is rabbinic. כי פעמים יהיה פירוש מקובל, because sometimes this interpretation is something we have on tradition and it is biblical. Certain things aren't. So, הראוי בזה, what's fitting here is, שכל מה שלא תמצאו כתוב בתורה, anything you don't find written overtly in the Torah, right? That's what we're talking about. Something that's derived, what's overt in the Torah, we know that's biblical. But if you have something that's not overt in the Torah, ותמצאו בתלמוד שלמדו באחד מי"ג מידות, you find it in the Talmud that it was derived with one of the 13 laws of derivation, אם בארוהם בעצמם ואמרו שזה גוף תורה, if they themselves said, this is something, a body of Torah, this is, או שזה דאורייתא, or they referred to it as being biblical, הנה ראוי למנותו, then you should count it. שהמקבלים אמרו שהוא דאורייתא, for the ones who received this tradition said that it's biblical. Now the Rambam doesn't mean necessarily you'll find this line in the Talmud that says, this is a guf Torah. It means that the way the Talmud refers to it, you see that that's how the Talmud's referring to it as a guf Torah.
The Rambam saying that halachot Moshe Sinai are biblical?
That's a good question. Let's hold off on that for now. I don't think that's what the Rambam's saying, but you know, the word biblical has many meanings. Did you mean they should be counted in the 613, or did you mean we should treat them as Doraisa? Because those are two different questions.
So that answers the question of whether all of the rights are part of the 613.
This is a point that we will expand on in this Shorosh, so let's hold off on it. The Rambam until now gave us two options, either it's Doraisa or Drabanan. Mm-hmm. Later on, the Rambam's going to sound more like what you just said, that it's Doraisa, but it's just not part of the 613. Right now, the Rambam clearly said Doraisa or Drabanan, right? He says, we won't say they're all Doraisa, we won't say they're all Drabanan. If you have a clear tradition that this is a Guf Torah, or that it's Doraisa, then you'll count it. And if not, then what? It would seem, you know, you finish off the sentence, then it's Drabanan. Others want to say, no. Then it's still Doraisa, but it doesn't count. I don't think that's what it says at this point in the Rambam. Now, we're working with the translation, so we're a little limited, but that doesn't seem to be what it says here. To me, הנני העוני. ואם לא יבארו לזה ולא דיברו בו, הנה הוא דרבנן. And if they don't explain it, it's pretty black and white. If they don't explain it and they don't discuss it, so then the assumption is what's derived from the 13 principles is rabbinic. Powerful line. Things are derived from the 13 principles, from 13 laws of derivation, unless stated otherwise are rabbinic. Now, stated otherwise could mean finish Shas, and you'll see somewhere along the lines the Gemara is going to refer to it, and you could infer from the Gemara's reference that it's Doraisa. Meaning, that's what I said earlier. The Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos sometimes points out, this is Doraisa, because you see the way the Talmud spoke about it, the Talmud viewed it as Doraisa. Throughout, the Rambam does this. Throughout the Lo Sa'aseh, he keeps pointing out this, even though it's a derivation, but here you find their furtet like this, and here you find their furtet like that. He proves it from different places where it's not actually spelled out. You see how the Talmud treated it.
But he's saying that you can, that's not all the mitzvah that are derived are written in the Torah, and he's also saying that not everything that's drushed out from the Torah is, stuff that's drushed out from the Torah can be rabbinical too.
Right. She'en.
It's kind of like all over the place, a
little bit. A little, yeah. But think about it for a second. You have 13 laws of derivation. What do you do with them? Are you going to say everything that's derived from them is Doraita?
I don't know. I don't know what the strength of these derived... What were these deriving tools meant for? What was their whole purpose?
Right. So, that's a good question. So let's wait, because Nachmanides is going to have a lot to say. And there's also we're reading the Rambam here. The Rambam was attacked for what he wrote here, and he wrote a letter defending himself.
Really?
Yeah. So let's hold off. Let's see. V'ze gam ken shoresh kvar nishtabshu bo zulatenu. And he says this is also a root that, other than us, people have gotten confused on this. And that's why they enumerate fear of the sages, having respect and fear of the wise men is one of the mitzvos. What brought him to this point? I think that which Rabbi Akiva taught, that Hashem lokecha tira, that the verse that says fear Hashem says the word et Hashem lokecha tira, lerabot talmidei chachamim, to the inclusion of the sages. So he thought that anything that comes from a ribui, anything that's encompassed through a ribui, is also part of the Doraisa and also gets counted. And if things were the way he thought, why didn't they count honoring the mother's husband, meaning a stepfather? That's also derived, kabeid esavicha, to include your one stepfather. Veshita'av, ve'esimecha, the es over there incorporates the stepmother as well. So if you're going to start counting the es, what's derived from the es, that's through the ribui, if you're going to count that, so then I have a lot of things for you to count, says the Rambam. The stepfather, the stepmother, count those as separate mitzvos. count those mitzvah bifnei atzma mechuberet el kibud avayim. That's a mitzvah attached to honoring one's parents. V'chen kvod achiv gadol, and also honoring one's older brother. That's also derived from kabed es avicha v'esimecha. Because we learned that we have to honor these people with the ribui. Amru, our sages say in the Talmud and Ksubos, et avicha, the pasuk says honor your father. The word et is to teach us lerabot, to the inclusion of achicha gadol, your big brother. Ve'od amru et avicha lerabot ba'alimecha. And furthermore, the Talmud says et avicha incorporates the stepfather. Ve'et imecha lerabot eshet avicha. And et imecha, and your mother, that is coming to incorporate a step mother. It's the same way our sages derived that the et Hashem lokecha tira incorporates, is coming to inclusion of the sages. So then why do you count these and not the other ones? As usual, when you only read Rambam, sounds powerful, right?
Wait, isn't that the et that we described about hearing Talmidei Chachamim? That's not the same as listening to their words and not going...
No, it's not the same. It's a different mitzvah.
You have to fear them.
Yeah.
And that is what... And according to Rabbi Kiva, that's a biblical mitzvah.
Well, that's the point in question, isn't it? V'kvar igia bahem hasichlut... And their foolishness already led them to worse than this. The Rambam doesn't mince any words here. When they find the derivation on a pasuk that tells us to do a certain action, or to prevent from something, and all of these are not biblical mitzvahs, they're undoubtedly rabbinic concepts, they enumerate them as one of the 613. Even though the literal reading of the verse does not point to any of these concepts, they're derived, our sages align them with these verses, but the verse isn't the source for this halacha. If you hold on to the point that we were taught by them, the root that they said, what our sages say often, and the verse does not leave the handle of its simple reading. And you find the Talmud often asks, what's the verse itself talking about? When the sages will sometimes take a verse in the Torah, and they'll say, this verse teaches me this concept, and that concept, and another concept. So after the Talmud tells me a lot of concepts you learn from it, then it says, okay, wait a second, what was that pasuk talking about? One example of that is the Torah says, we learned the Gemara on this yesterday, the Torah says, lo tochilu al adam. So yesterday we saw the Gemara in Brachos that says, don't eat before you pray over your own blood. There's another Gemara that says, don't eat after you've spilled blood, after the courts kill someone. There's another verse that says, don't eat. Another Gemara that says, don't eat before you cover the blood, before you do Kisui Adam. A lot of verses, a lot of concepts are aligned with this verse. Now the Rambam in a different Shoresh is going to discuss this. This idea that sometimes you have a verse that teaches you many different things, and how you count that. But here he's mentioning it in passing. He says, the Talmud very often is just going to say, well, what's the pasuk talking about? You see that that's what the Talmud was interested in. What's the pshat? And what's derived using laws of derivation, that can't get counted, says the Rambam.
What is he saying? He's saying that you can have multiple learnings from a single pasuk?
Not he's saying, I just told you Gemara's that say it. Let's wait and see. Let's wait, the Rambam will discuss that. Let's wait. But he just brought this as an example of the concept that the Gemara will often ask, well, what was the pasuk talking about? Meaning all these other things we say, this pasuk teaches me this concept and that concept and a third concept, and then the Talmud says, okay, wait a second, but what's the pasuk really talking about? So you see, the Gemara is interested, what is the pasuk really talking about? And all the other things, well, you can't count them as biblical. Does that answer your question? Why? It's not derived. According to the Rambam, it's not biblical. Then it's not really derived from that pasuk. Or, okay, wait, you're right. Let's wait. V'nismachim v'machshava zu manu bichlal mitzvat aseh, and those who use this way of thought, they include in their count of the mitzvot asay bikucholim, visiting the sick, v'nichum avelim, and comforting the mourners, v'kvuat mitim, and burying the dead. Ba'avur adrasha niskar be'omro yitale, because of the derivation when the exalted one, when the one above said, v'odatalem et aderich yelchu v'avet emaseh asher yasun, on the verse that says, God tells Moshe, not God, Yisro tells Moshe, you will teach them the path they will go on and the actions they will do. V'um Rambo in the Talmud says about that pasuk, et aderich sug milut chasadim. When he told them, teach him the path, well, the path is talking about acts of kindness. Yelchu, they will go, zeviku cholim. That's a reference to visiting the sick. Bazuk v'at metim. And the pasuk says, in it, that's a reference to burying the dead. V'et amaseh in the action, elo adinim. Those are the laws, asher yasun, zelifnim shurat adin, that they perform is a reference to beyond the call of duty. V'chashvu ki kol po'al u'po'al me'ilu ha'pu'ulon mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So they thought every one of these actions is its own mitzvah. V'lo yadum, what they didn't know, ki ha'pu'ulot ha'ilu kulam ma'adumim lem nechnosot ach mitzvah achat, that these actions and what's similar to them all fall under one heading, under one mitzvah. Mechlal ha'mitzvot ha'ktuvot b'torah v'be'ur, that's a mitzvah among those that are written explicitly in the Torah. V'umro yitale, that is what the one above said. V'avtal racha kamocha, love your friend like yourself. Now, Nachmanides already dealt with this claim of the Rambam. If you recall, we saw it last week. Nachmanides already answered all of this. But okay. Uvezah derech be'atzmo manu chishuv tkufot. Remember, Nachmanides also dealt with this, we saw earlier today. And in line with this, they counted calculating the seasons, mitzvah, they counted it as its own mitzvah. Babur adrasha ne'emar, be'ichoch matrem u'binatrem ne'ne'amim. Based on the derivation that our sages said on the verse that says, this is your wisdom and understanding to the eyes of the nation. V'umram, our sages said about that, eizo yichoch ma'u v'nashi le'ne'amim. What wisdom and understanding stand before the nations? Ve'omel zeh chishuv tkufot mazalot. That's the calculation of the seasons and the zodiac. Ve'ilu mana, so Nachmanides answered this already, that that's not what Ba'al Halachos Gadolos meant in both counts. He said you can't say that a verse that's talking about advice that Yisro gave is mitzvos. That's not what Ba'al Halachos Gadolos was saying at all. Nor can you say over here that this is a mitzvah. Nachmanides took Maimonides to task and said, wait a second, burying the dead is a mitzvah. You yourself count it as a mitzvah. It's its own mitzvah. Torah says, don't leave the body hanging, bury it. And it's a mitzvah not only about a corpse that the courts put to death, but also about any dead body, as Maimonides himself writes. So Nachmanides already took the Rambam to task. He not only rebutted the Rambam's claims here, but he went on a counterattack. V'ilu mana mashu yoter mevu'al mizeh, v'yachshov mashu yoter ru'i limnoto. And if he would count what's even clearer than this, what's closer to being overt than these things, and if he would include in his count things that it made more sense to count, that is all that's derived with the 13 laws of derivation. He says, these things, the Gemara says, they're nice ideas, but that they're not even derivations. They're drash. If he would just count things that are closer to being overt, things that are derived from the 13 principles, then we'd have thousands of mitzvot. Maybe he'll think, I don't want to count them because they're not true. Because the law that's derived from there, well, maybe we paskin like that, maybe not, maybe it's true, maybe it isn't true. That's not the reason I'm not willing to count it. אבל הסיבה כי כל מה שיוציא אדם הם ענפים מן השורשים שנאמרו לו למשה בסיני בביור. Because what's derived is just that. It's a derivation. It's a branch. It's a branching of the roots of what was told at Sinai. והם תרייג מצוות. And what was told at Sinai was the roots, which are 613 מצוות. I'm not saying the other things aren't true. They're just branching out of the Torah. ואפילו היה מוציא משה בעצמו, and even if Moshe himself would derive things from the Torah with the 13 laws of derivation, and ra'u limnotam, we shouldn't count them. V'araya zeh kulo, and the proof to all of this, omram b'gmar t'mura, that which the Talmud tells us in t'mura, 1,700 kalin v'chamurim zirot shvot dikdukei sofrim nishtakhu v'meiv lo shel Moshe. 1,700 kal v'chomer zir shvot dikdukei sofrim were forgotten during the period of mourning of Moshe. Nil ben Knaz brought it back with the sharpness. He derived it, he re-derived it from the Torah. As the verse says, he who conquers that city of the book, he who conquers it, I'll give him my daughter Achsa. So our sages said, that what city of the book? That's talking about the book. The one who could figure out the laws that were forgotten, Vayilkedah Otniel ben Knaz. And then the pasuk says, the one who figured it all out was Otniel ben Knaz. Ukshayu kacha nishkachot. So if they forgot 1,700, kal vachomer, gzir shava, etc. Kama ya klal shenishkach memenu ze amispar. So then you have to ask yourself, okay, so what was the original number? How many kal vachomer did they have that they forgot 1,700? It says, yeah, you have to realize this is a small amount. But you have to assume that the majority was remembered. Because even if we'd say something which is obviously not true, but even if we'd say that everything they knew was forgotten, they forgot it all during those 30 days. 40 years of their learning, 30 days of mourning, and they forgot it all. It's not true, but even if we'd say that, it's undoubted that the laws that they had derived with the Kal Vachomer and the other laws of derivation were many. And all of these laws were known in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Meaning they're not things that a later court derived, they're things that were known at that time and they were forgotten in his mourning. You see, even in the days of Moshe, there were rabbinic institutions. There were things that they said from the Torah, but they were considered diktukei sofrim. The rabbis' points in the Torah, the rabbis' diktukim. Ki kol ma shelo shamu b'sinai b'veyu, hineyu midivrei sofrim. Because whatever they didn't hear clearly at Sinai, whatever wasn't said overtly, is called midivrei sofrim, from the words of our rabbis. The rabbis in the time of Ezra were called sofrim. Sofer is the equivalent of a rabbi. And there was there were generations where the rabbis were called chachamim, sofrim, geonim. Different generations have different names for their rabbis.
Well, you said there was a difference, no, between divrei sofrim and rabbinic.
Yes. Wait. That goes back to the point you raised at the beginning of the Shoresh. Are we going to say that Maimonides means to say that everything that's derived from the 13 laws of derivation is rabbinic? I don't think Maimonides meant to go so far. Let's finish hearing him out and then let's try to put it all together. Hinei kvar itba'er ki tayag mitzvot shenemru lo l'Moshe b'Sinai lo yimaneh b'hem kol ma she'ilamed b'yud gimel midot. So we've already clarified that you won't count in the 613 anything that's derived from the 13 laws of derivation. And even things that were derived in his day, may he rest in peace. Certainly we're not going to count in the 613 mitzvot things that were derived at later dates. But we will count things that are interpretations that we have on tradition from Moshe, and that is provided that those who give over the tradition clarify, and they say, if they tell us that this thing is prohibited biblically, or they'll tell us this is a body of Torah that's prohibited, then we will count it, because that we have on tradition. We haven't derived it. The truth is we have a tradition. This is what Moshe was telling us. But the fact that we illustrate this concept, we show that it has a source in the Torah through a Hekesh or one of the 13 principles. That's just showing the wisdom of the verse, as we explained in our introduction to Mishnah. But the truth is it's not derived from there. It is based on tradition, and therefore it is considered that that's what Moshe gave us at Sinai, and it is biblical. So all this seems relatively clear. The question is, at the end of the day, so what does Maimonides mean? Meaning, we could say that new concepts that are derived from the 13 principles are going to be rabbinic. And details of biblical mitzvot, so there we have to question, was Maimonides referring to that when he said they're not going to be biblical? When he says what's derived from the 13 principles is either rabbinic or biblical, and if they don't tell us it's biblical, then it's rabbinic, we could read that simply like that, and then even details in mitzvot would be rabbinic. Or we could read that to mean that if it's a totally new thing that's derived from the 13 principles, well then it's not a mitzvah unless they tell you it's a mitzvah. It's a rabbinic mitzvah where they showed me how the mitzvah has allusion in the Torah. But what about details within a biblical mitzvah? And the classical example where everyone discusses this Rambam is the question of Kiddushei Kesef. The whole idea of marriage, so the Torah describes Ki Kachi Shisha, when a man engages a woman. The first stage of marriage, Kiddushin, so there are three ways to do that. Kesef, Shtar, Bia. So the Torah says, Uvaileah, he lives with her. So Bia is written in the Torah. Shtar is also basically written in the Torah because the Torah describes a woman that gets engaged and then gets married and she's still a virgin. So there has to be another way of getting married other than through Bia. So Shtar is basically written in the Torah.
Why do we have to say it's a Shtar?
Kesef, yeah. You have either Bia or Shtar or Kesef. Kesef, the Talmud tells us, is Gzeres Shava. It says, Ki Kachi Shisha. It says, Avram purchased the field. He says, Natati Kesef Asadeh Kach Mimeni. Take the money. I want to give the money of the field. I've given it. You take it. So we see that money is called Kicha. And when it says, Ki Kachi Shisha, it also means, I'm giving the money. That's how I take the woman to be my wife. So now, would the Rambam say that a woman who's married b'kesef is only married rabbinically? That is not Yahar Gval Yavar to live with her? All of us who marry our wives with Kiddushei Kesef, it's only rabbinic? So that's what the Rambam was attacked on. That's what he received the letter. Someone asked him, hey, did you mean to say that? Maimonides says, no way. Of course it's biblical. So then the question is, how do you rectify all of this? So let's see the Ramban. And then I assume you want to see the Rambam's letter after the Ramban. You want to see the Rambam's letter first?
I don't know, because I don't know how much Ramban we can get through. Like, you know the Ramban. Is it worthwhile?
The only challenge here with the Ramban is that it seems that the Ramban had a different translation of the Rambam.
Really?
You'll see, as we learn through the Ramban. He refers to things which we have slightly differently, and maybe had the Ramban had our translation, he wouldn't have said everything he says. But we'll keep that in mind and start learning. Let's see the Ramban. And at the end, or the Ramban, I think, will refer to that letter. Then we'll open it up. Okay? So let's get started on the Ramban. But maybe before we start the Ramban, we should open up to Mitzvah Lo Sa'aseh. Mitzvah Lo Sa'aseh. Kuf Lamed Gimel. Let me see 1 second. No, Kuf Lamed Beis. Let's learn that together, because here we'll see an application of what the Rambam just wrote.
From what I understood at the end of the Rambam, he didn't quite say that there was the difference between a biblical MAS and one of the 613. He didn't exactly say that, right?
He didn't say that, no. He didn't say that it exists.
Right.
I mean, I'm saying, what was the Rambam saying here? It's my point.
Right.
There's a Marganita Toba that discusses it. The commentaries here discuss it, but
there's room to interpret it?
Or I'm suggesting that the Rambam did not refer to that. I'm saying, right, the Rambam is contending with 613, and he's giving us two options, either biblical in 613 or rabbinic. Is that what the Rambam means to say? So I'm suggesting that maybe not. But let's see. That's my suggestion. Okay, so we're in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Beis in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Lotasi. He says, Iranu Ma'achol Pigul. Torah warns us from eating pigul. Va'pigul, what is pigul? Hukoban shefsideu ha'machshava b'shat shechitato. That's a sacrifice that at the time of slaughtering, he had an improper thought. He thought, I'll eat it at a different time. I'll eat it outside of the place I'm allowed to. or at the time that he was bringing the sacrifice, not necessarily the shechita, but the other parts of bringing the sacrifice. V'chashav ha'ish she'itasek b'akravato, and the person who was dealing with bringing it, the Kohen thought, she'achel mimenu achal zmano, he thought, I'll eat it after the time the Torah allots me, or he'll burn the parts, he'll offer the parts that are supposed to be offered after the allotted time, as the Talmud explains at length in the second chapter of Zvachim. The warning, where does the Torah tell me not to eat pigul? So there's no real pasuk on pigul. That's where the Rambam's running into a tough time. So he says, well, the Torah says, don't eat it, for it is holy. As we explained in the previous mitzvah, that the Torah tells us regarding Korban Shlomim, so the Torah says, the Torah says in the Miluim, lo ya'achel ki kodesh hem, that certain sacrifices of the Miluim should not be eaten, for they're holy. So the word hem comes to encompass not only those sacrifices, but them, but others as well. What else? So in the previous mitzvah, the Rambam said, it's also coming to include nosa, meat that was left over beyond the date when you're allowed to eat it, after the expiration date, and pigul. So here the Rambam saying, okay, so the word hem encompasses pigul as well. That's what the Talmud tells us. Lo yachel, don't eat the sacrifices of the miluim, ki kodesh hem, for they are holy. What's the they? The miluim, plus nosar and pigul.
So that's, according to him, it's pshat, not drash.
Ah, it's not pshat. So sure not pshat. No. That's not pshat. That's a drash. He admits that's a drash. Let's hear him out. So from that verse, we learn that you're not allowed to eat. That's the prohibition. Don't eat pigul. V'ulama onesh lamadnu oto, but the punishment that we learn me'omro b'pigul b'parshat tzav et aron, when it says about pigul in parshas tzav. So it says like this, ve'im me'achol yachel mibsar zevach shlamav b'yom ha'shlishi, if you eat from the sacrifice on the third day, lo yeratzeh, then that's not going to be taken in favor before the Creator. Ha'makriv oto lo yechashev lo, the one who sacrifices it, this won't count for him, pigul yiyeh, that's called pigul, v'hanevesh ha'ochel b'men avonat isa, and whoever eats from it will carry their sin. And our tradition has it on this pasuk, even though the verse is, what does the verse say? It's talking about a kosher sacrifice on the third day. We have a tradition that it, no, it's not talking about that. It's talking about something that was sacrificed, and at the time of sacrifice there was an improper thought, and that disqualified the sacrifice. And that's what we call pigul. Even though the verse says if it will be eaten on the third day, our tradition says it means if it will be thought about being eaten on the third day. That's not what it says. That's a drasha. That's our tradition. Amru, the Talmud says, kofos nechal lishmoa b'mchashev al zivcho shiochal mimeno b'yom ha'shlishi ha'ketub medaber. Hurt in your ear and listen, the Talmud says. This verse isn't the way you think it reads. Our tradition is it's talking about someone who thinks about eating it after the date. Shu'i paset b'zot ha'machshava, that the sacrifice is hereby disqualified with this thought. Umi shu'ochal mimenu achal zot ha'machshava, and whoever eats from the sacrifice after that thought, chayav karet, he gets kares. Lemobo, because the verse says about that, v'anev shu'ochal mimenu avonat isa, whoever eats from it will carry their sin, which is a reference to kares. How do I know that's talking about kares? Because this pasuk by pigul says avonat isa, And by nosar it says, whoever eats nosar has desecrated the holy food of Hashem. He will get kares. He will carry his sin. Avonot yisa. Uses the same term of avonot yisa. By nosar it's kares. So then the Talmud tells us in Krisus, Uvigmar kritut amru, al teheg zera sheva kala beinecha. Don't take gzera shava lightly, the Talmud says there. Sharei pigul echad megufei Torah. Here you see where the Rambam got the term from. Pigul is a body of Torah. The whole concept of pigul is a body of Torah. Ve'lo lamdo akatu ve'lo begzerat shava. And the Torah only taught it to us through gzera shava. It's not written overtly. The yalif avon avon minotar, because we have gzera shava, avon, it says avonat is avono yisa by nosar, avonat yisa by pigul. So that's how you know pigul gets kares. So you see, the Rambam brings an example for this. This idea that something is derived, doesn't say it at all, but he counts it. And in the end, he slips in this Talmudic quote that says it's a guf Torah. It's a body of Torah. So that's what the Rambam just told us. That sometimes you have something that's derived, but they're telling you it's a guf Torah. If they're telling you it's a guf Torah, then you understand this derivation was a tradition from Moshe, and it is biblical, and it gets counted.
But if he hadn't said that, he wouldn't have been able to...
He couldn't have counted it. Right. That needs a lot of work. You understand? You're taking a biblical sacrifice and you're burning it. You're not eating it. And that's based on a derivation. So that's not biblical? Meaning to take this Rambam at face value and say, if they don't say it, it's not biblical, that it doesn't work. So that's why the Rambam, you have to say the Rambam meant something a little different here. I know you use the word Rabbanan. But I'm just saying, it's to say that everything that's derived from the Yud Gimel Midos is Rabbanan. You'll see. I mean, person's own daughter doesn't say.
But does he defend himself in that letter? Does he explain?
We'll see. Okay. Haikara sheni. So this is the part that people learn. If there's one part in the Sefer HaMitzvos that people know, it's this. This is the most learned part of the Sefer HaMitzvos. Unfortunately, people don't see all the wealth in the other parts of it, but this is the most learned part. Haikara sheni. We're learning the Ramban. The second principle, the rabbi decreed that anything that's learned with one of the 13 laws of derivation, that the Torah is derived with, or with the ribui, roilim noto bichlala mitzvot shenemul Moshe Sinai, velikotan mitzvat Torahita, it should be included. That not everything that's counted with one of the 13 laws of derivation or a ribuy is fit to be counted a mitzvah that was said to Moshe at Sinai, v'likotan mitzvot Torahita, or to call it a biblical mitzvah. Notice he used two terms here. One of the 613, or to call it Torahita. Nor would he say, I'm not going to count anything that's aligned with these 13 laws of derivation. But the rules as follows. If the Gemara explicitly says it is biblical, if the Gemara explicitly says that it's biblical, yimnoto, then he counts it. But if it doesn't explicitly say it, then he decrees it is rabbinic. And in this, he wants to disprove what Baal Halachos did, because Baal Halachos counted the fear of the rabbis is one of the biblical mitzvahs. The rabbi claims that's rabbinic. And the other claim he made against Baal Halachos, if it's like they said Maimonides claims, Why didn't they also count honoring the stepfather and the stepmother as their own mitzvah? And also honoring a big brother, because that's also derived from the same derivation. Amu, our sages taught, et avicha lerabot esht avicha, et imecha lerabot bali mecha. The word et in both cases is coming to encompass the step parent. Vav yitera lerabot achicha agadol. The vav teaches us the elder brother has to be honored too. Vezovadai sheilai. He says, this is certainly a good question. Aval natami mena rav ze haikar v'umesharesh v'oker shorashim rabim b'talmud. But the rabbi here lays down his principle and he is uprooting many roots in the Talmud. Says, Maimonides over here really uprooted many basic concepts in Talmud, as we'll see. The roots of Talmud. Nonetheless, he doesn't really answer his own question. His kiltzavat Rebbe. The Gemara in Ksubas tells us a very interesting story. Rebbe was lying on his deathbed, and he says to his children, he tells his children, be careful, kids, I want you to honor your mother. So the Talmud automatically asks, wait a second. That's what Rebbe has to say on his deathbed. Veikshu, the Gemara asks, I'll say about this. Doraiti, that's biblical. What does he have to tell him? Watch out to honor your mother. Dichtiv kabedet avicha ve'et imecha. Eishet, so that's the Talmud's question. The Talmud records the story. Then the Talmud asks, how come Rebbe had to warn them? Isn't that biblical? Answers the Gemara, Eishet av havai, she wasn't their mother. She was their stepmother. He remarried. Their mother passed away. Rebbe remarried. That's what he was telling them. Be careful with your stepmom. I know I'm going to die, and I want you to be careful with your stepmom. Honor her nonetheless. Eshetav nami doraitehi. But then the Talmud says another line that knocks out the Rambam. The Talmud says, wait a second, a stepmother is also biblical. Wait a second, Mr. Rambam. You just told me if it's derived, it's not biblical. The Talmud clearly says it's biblical. And then the Gemara answers, that the Gemara says, isn't it biblical? Dichtiv kabedet avicha zo eshet avicha. The et avicha encompasses the stepmother. Ve'et imecha zo bal imecha. Vav yitera lerabot achicha agadol. Everything we just said. That the stepdad, stepmom, big brother are all encompassed in the verse. So the Gemara says, no, it's only while he's alive. When he's dead, they don't have a biblical mitzvah to honor their stepmom. And so that's what Rebbe was telling them. Even though I'm dying, should honor. So, says Nachmanides, in a Rav Bikesh, Bedvarim Anidrashim, Beyud Gimel Midot, Beribu, Sheskiru Em Atzmam, Shumidoraita. What was his criterion? He said, the only way I'll count it is if they themselves tell me this derivation is biblical. Ve'im ze yimnotan bichlal mitzvot, and then he will count it. Vareskiru En Beilu Shen Midoraita. So that's a pretty good example of a place where they say it's biblical. Ve'im no yaspik lo omram doraita hi. And if that's not enough, that the Talmud clearly says that honoring a step parent is biblical, he says you have the exact same terminology that the Talmud says ruba doraita, and based on that, Maimonides says in Mitzvah 175, says the Rambam, the 175th mitzvah is when you're having a court case, go after the majority opinion. And the Rambam says that the pasuk says achei rabim la'atot, lean your case after the masses. And the Rambam obviously didn't hold that was an explicit statement of the Torah. That wasn't enough. The Rambam quotes the Gemara that says ruba doraita, the concept of going after the mass over the majority opinion. How do I know it's biblical? Because the Gemara says ruba doraita. Well, okay, the Gemara used the exact same terminology here and said kibud aim or kibud eishes av is doraisa. Ve'evir ha'ya b'mitzvah lo ta'ase kuf tzaditet sh'ochel chametz mishe shot unmalo ubel lo ta'ase. And we see the same logic in Maimonides when he says in Mitzvah 199 that one who eats chametz after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, that's a biblical prohibition. Mimashamu, because the Talmud says, "Lekuli alma, Mihat chametz misheshot inmala doraita. Same terminology. 6 hours and up, everyone agrees it's doraisa. Shekach matzah benuschot meduyakot, because he verified, and that's what it says in accurate places, in the accurate versions of Talmud. And you have another place, the Talmud says in the beginning of Pesachim, that they wanted to ensure a person doesn't touch the biblical prohibition, so they said stop eating earlier. You see, they call it a biblical prohibition. So he comes and he's on the counterattack. He says, you got a good question, where's the consistency in Baal Halachos? But I have a question about you, using your criterion. So we'll pick up here Bezachim next time.
Funny, that's the definitely.